Such a bitch, I said. He laughed and hugged me around the waist, the roughness of his right cheek pressed into my belly, and I valued that more than anything else he could have done. I stroked his hair and held him against me. I looked across the room to Jean-Claude, and the look on his face was drowning deep, a longing so immense that there were no words to hold it. He wanted Asher and me. He wanted what he had had so many centuries ago. He'd once told Asher that he'd once almost been happy, and that had been when he was in Asher's and Juliana's arms. Before she died, and Asher was saved, but no longer Belle Moore's perfect golden boy. Jean-Claude had been forced to take Asher back to the Vampire Council to have him healed. Jean-Claude had traded 100 years of his own freedom to the Council for the favor of them saving Asher's life. Then Jean-Claude had fled, and Asher had stayed behind, blaming Jean-Claude for Juliana's death and for his ruin. Jean-Claude had gone from being in love and being loved by two people to losing one lover and having the other one hate him. We gazed at each other. The look in Jean-Claude's eyes was so raw, like a fresh wound that still bled. He wanted to secure his power base with the Triumvirate. He did want that, needed it, but there were other things that he wanted, almost needed. And one of those was hugging my waist, pressing his face to my stomach. Jean-Claude lowered his eyes as if he couldn't control what was in them. He was the master of blank, careful expression. The fact that what he felt was too strong to hide said more than anything else. He couldn't shield his emotions right now. They were too strong. They shattered all his careful control, and a part of me was glad. In that moment, I wanted to give him what he most desired. I wanted to do it because I loved him, but it was more than that. I suddenly realized that with Richard gone from our bed, other things were suddenly possible. I turned back to Asher, gazing down on the top of his head, and knew that to be held in the circle of both our arms would heal something inside him that might never heal any other way. The ardour flared through me, hot, so hot, as if my skin must feel feverish. Asher drew back from me, letting his arms drop slowly to his sides. He gazed up at me, and the look in his eyes was enough. I knew he felt the hunger, too. It feels hot, I said. Always before, your power has felt cool or cold, even. It's Richard's beast that holds the heat.
Lust is warm, ma petite, even among the cold-blooded.
I turned towards the bed and was suddenly very aware that I was nude. I was really going to have to get a robe. It wasn't Jean-Claude's gaze that made me look away, it was Nathaniel and Jason. Everyone in this room responded to me in different ways for very different reasons, but it was all fodder for this need inside me. Asher made some small movement that drew my attention back to him. I started to reach for him, to push his robe from his shoulders, to watch it fall to the floor. I hugged my arms to me as if I was cold, but I wasn't cold. It was my turn not to trust where my hands were. The temptation was so thick everywhere I looked that there seemed no place to walk in safety. I felt trapped. Trapped, not in the room, but in the desire. When I was sure I could talk without sounding as confused as I felt, I asked, "Is this thing permanent, or will it go away when we all adjust to the marks being married?"
"I do not know, ma petite. I wish I could tell you something more certain. If you were truly of my get, truly vampire, then I would say, yes, it is permanent. But you are my human servant. You have manifested powers in the past, and some have come and gone."
He raised his hands.
"There is no way to be sure."
"Is it always like this? Never satisfied? Never finished?"
"No. You can set yourself, but it takes much to do it. Usually one must be content with enough to keep the desire from overwhelming you."
"And you haven't fed like this in months because you thought I would disapprove?"
"Years. And yes."
I stared at him across the room, with Asher still kneeling in front of me. I'd always thought of Jean-Claude as the weaker-willed of the three of us, Richard, him, and me. Now I stood there afraid to move, afraid not to move, wanting to do things that were not me, not mine, not even Jean-Claude's. I'd known that the lycanthropes spoke of their animal half as something separate from them, their beast, but I'd never understood that some of the vampire's powers were the same way. Desires, hungers, so strong and overwhelming that they were like separate beings trapped inside your head, your body, your blood. Asher made a small movement and I turned to him. My hand reached out to stroke his hair before I'd turned completely to face him, as if my body had been moving without my eyes or my brain. His hair was thicker textured, more like mine, not the baby fine curls of Jean-Claude or Jason, or the velvet silk of Nathaniel. I bundled my hands into Asher's hair as if I'd memorized the feel of it. Somewhere between mine and Richard's, somewhere in the middle, but not warm like Richard's was to the touch. Asher hadn't fed today, and he had no warmth to give. His skin was cool under my fingertips as I traced his cheek. I spoke without looking at Jean-Claude.
How have you stood it? How could you fight the need all this time?
You are a fledgling, ma petite. Your control will never be weaker than now. I have had centuries to practice my control.
I made myself stop petting Asher. But he took my hand as I moved it back and laid a gentle kiss on my knuckles. Even that small touch made me catch my breath. My voice came out weak.
So you can go without feeding the desire?
No, ma petite.
I turned and stared at him, and Asher rubbed his thumb in small circles on my hand. I remembered that small touch as precious, a habit he had no matter which of us he held hands with.
You said you hadn't fed like this.
I have had no sex, nor touched anyone in such a complete manner as you have done with Nathaniel. But I must feed the desire, just as I must take blood.
What happens if you don't?
You remember what happened to Sabin when he stopped taking human blood?
I nodded. Asher's thumb continued its small circle on my hand, and it made things low in my body tighten. Sabin started to rot while he was still alive. I stared into Jean-Claude's perfect face.
Is that what would happen to you?
He sat back on the bed in his black robe. Jason had moved against the headboard as if watching a show, and Nathaniel still lay on his stomach where I'd left him, watching us with pale eyes.
There was a vampire of Bell's lineage who renounced the lust. He took only animals as well, and I believe would have rotted as Sabin did, but he did not have the time. He began to age in a matter of days. When he was a wizened thing, Bell had him killed.
But you haven't aged. What have you been doing?
It wasn't accusatory. I simply wanted to know, because I could feel Asher on the end of my hand like something huge and like something I couldn't live without. I'd wanted Nathaniel. I'd wanted Jason. I'd wanted Micah. But not like this. I think it was Jean-Claude's feelings that made this so much more.
It is possible to feed from a distance without touching, Jean-Claude said.
That's why a strip club was your first business. You were feeding off the lust.
Oui, ma petite.
Teach me to feed from a distance.
Even as I said distance, Asher drew my hand to his cheek and rubbed against it like a cat. I had to close my eyes for a second, but I didn't tell him to stop.
Feeding from a distance is a poor substitute for a true feeding.
I opened my eyes and stared at him across the room, and now I could feel him. I could feel his need for blood, sex, love, and the touch of our flesh against his. He wrapped his arms around his body as if he were cold, or didn't trust himself not to leave the bed and come to us.
Teach me anyway, I said.
I cannot, not this soon. In a few nights, I will instruct you. But your control is not complete enough yet.
I started to say, try me, but Asher drew my finger into his mouth in one long, wet line, and I suddenly couldn't think.
Come to bed, ma petite, Jean-Claude said. If you feed here, there is a chance you may be sated enough that you will not press our so stubborn Richard.
The thought was enough to dim the desire for a moment or two. I drew my hand away from Asher and he didn't protest. The sheer horror of what I'd be like around Richard with this inside me helped me think. Being around him normally made me want sex, but now, my God, I'll be lucky if I don't just strip down and do him in the lupinar. I stared at Jean-Claude. What do I do?
I say again, ma petite, if you feed now off of such rich fare, you may be too full to need to feed again so soon. It is all I can offer you for tonight. You could simply delay the meeting for a few nights.
I shook my head. They'll kill Gregory. I have to get him out tonight.
Then come and feed.
Define feed?
Drink their lust, he said.
I looked at Jason and Nathaniel, and they weren't even trying for neutral. The looks on their faces brought heat in a rush up my face. I shook my head.
You do not have to have intercourse to feed from them, as you have discovered.
Aw, Jason said, but the look on his face didn't match the light teasing of his voice. They were responding to my need, the way I'd responded for so long to Jean-Claude's, drawn like a moth to a flame. You just couldn't help wanting to touch it, even when you knew it would burn.
Asher stood.
I will leave you alone, but with permission, I would feed on Nathaniel as my pomme de sang for the day.
No, I said. His eyes widened just a touch, face going neutral, eyes empty and cool as a spring sky. I felt him draw away from me.
As you wish.
He turned for the door. I grabbed his hand, slid my fingers between his.
Come to bed, Asher.
I'd thought his face was as blank and careful as it could get. I was wrong. His voice held nothing when he asked,
What do you mean?
I can't give you back what you had. I can't even give you... I stopped and tried again. But I can let you feed together again.
How?
If Nathaniel says it's okay, you can take blood from him, and Jean-Claude will take blood from Jason. You can feed together.
Do you know how intimate a thing it is to feed together on your pomme de sang? A pomme de sang is not a casual feeding, it is intimate, to be shared only with intimate companions.
I entwined my fingers around his hand.
I know.
I took a step towards the bed, drawing him with me.
Let us feed on your lust, Asher, as in days of old.
Asher stared past me at Jean-Claude.
The last time two fed from my desire, it was Belle and you.
I remember, Jean-Claude said softly.
He held his hand out to Asher from across the room, and I was reminded of him reaching for Asher all those centuries ago.
Let it be again, as it was before, but better this time. Anita loves you as you are now, not as some ideal thing like a butterfly on a pin to be tossed aside if a wing falls away. Come to us, Asher. Come to us both.
Asher smiled, then took a step to be beside me. He offered me his arm in a very old-fashioned gesture. I wanted to take his arm, to have an excuse to rub my body against his as we walked, and that was why I asked, How about the use of your robe as well as your hand? He gave a low and perfect bow, so low that his hair almost swept the floor.
That you had to prompt me to offer you my robe proves I am not a gentleman.
He slipped it off as he stood and held it for me like a coat. Asher is 6 feet, so the sleeves hung over my hands and the hem pooled around my feet. I pushed the sleeves up and got the sash tied, but the only thing to do for the length was just to bundle it in one hand like you would an overly long dress. But it covered almost every inch of me, and I felt better for it. The sweet scent of Asher's cologne clung to the robe, and that soft, masculine scent made me turn back to him. Made my eyes seek him out. Seeing Asher with no shirt on didn't make me feel better. I had the urge to caress his bare skin, to lick the scars. I never remembered being this orally fixated before, and wondered if it was the beast talking or the vampire. But to ask the question would be to admit the desire, and I didn't want to know that badly. I laid my hand in Asher's, partially because he was holding his hand out to me, and partially because even that small touch was satisfying. I wanted to touch him, wanted to wrap myself around him and answer that question that Jean-Claude was so desperate to answer. Was all this beauty and heat ruined? Was Asher unable to function as a man now? I closed my eyes as he led me forward because the visuals were just too strong. Through Jean-Claude, I knew exactly what Asher had looked like nude before the scars. I held memories of his body bathed in firelight as he lay rampant on a rug in a room in a country that I had never seen. I knew the play of moonlight on his back as I touched him. I tripped on the hem of the robe and he had to catch me to keep me from falling. I was suddenly pressed against his chest with the feel of his arms solid against my back. My face was suddenly up-tilted, as if I were waiting for a kiss, and there was one of those moments when you became aware of each other, painfully and suddenly aware of the possibilities of the next few seconds. He picked me up in his arms, carrying me easily, smoothly forward. I'd have told him to put me down, but my heart had filled my throat, and I couldn't speak around it. 17. Asher strode to the bed and laid me on it, leaning over Nathaniel's nude body to do so. I lay on my back and felt movement from every direction. Jean-Claude crawled up beside me, and Jason moved down beside him from the head of the bed. Nathaniel rolled over until we were lying beside each other with him on his side. His eyes told me nothing, except he would not say no. But I asked anyway. Do you want Asher to feed from you?
Oh, yes,
Nathaniel said, and there was something in his voice that I rarely heard. Surety. In this moment, he knew what he wanted. There was no doubt in him, and the strength of his desire made him stronger. Asher slid in against Nathaniel's back so that their bodies spooned together. I turned in time to see Jean-Claude mirror the movement with Jason. Jason reached out, touched my arm, and it was like a door had been burst open. I thought I'd felt desire before this, but it had been a dim echo. It roared over me like something huge and burning, except this fire did not burn. It fed me energy, as if I were not the wood on which it fed, but I was the flame. I was the thing that fed and grew and consumed. I found Jason's mouth and kissed him with lips and tongue and teeth, biting at his lips, pulling him into my mouth. And his body was suddenly pressed against mine, his arms pinning me to him, and Nathaniel slid in behind my back. I was pinned between them, and I didn't care. My leg slid over Jason's hip, my leg touching Jean-Claude on the other side of him. Jason was suddenly pressed between my legs, with only the silk of his shorts between us. It should have been enough to stop me, but it wasn't. I needed him. Nathaniel raised my hair, bit gently at the back of my neck, and a sound drew from my throat. The two of them fell on me, hands, mouths, bodies, like they were fire to my wood. But this wood drew them in, drank them almost. Jason pushed against me, and the shorts were baggy enough, the silk thin enough, that he entered me. The barest of touches, but it was enough to bring me up for air, to make me draw back from him. He drew back enough to whisper, "Sorry." My voice sounded as breathless as his when I said, "I'm not on birth control." Everyone froze. Jean-Claude peered over Jason's shoulder.
"What did you say, ma petite?"
"I stopped taking the pills 6 months ago. I've only been on it for 2 weeks. No guarantee for another 2 to 4 weeks."
"You made love to the Nimerage."
"He's been fixed."
Asher said, "She did what?"
Jean-Claude looked across the bed at him.
"Her hunger woke for the first time with the new Nimerage. You have not met him."
"You have," Asher said.
Oui.
Jason was looking at me, and I had to put a hand over his eyes, close them. And the embarrassment helped, but the ardour only withdrew momentarily, like a wave pulling back from the shore. I could feel it rushing towards us again. Jean-Claude was right. Every time I said no, the next time was harder to deny. Jean-Claude rolled off the bed, and I heard a drawer open. He came back into sight with foil-wrapped packages and wordlessly handed them to Jason and Nathaniel. That did it. I crawled out from between them to huddle against the headboard.
No, 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 you said no intercourse.
I said that you do not need intercourse to feed.
No, oh, so no.
I tucked the robe around my legs and covered everything I could, which was pretty much all of me.
We are not planning on them having intercourse with you, ma petite. But I have both fed on desire and been fed off of by Belmore. There comes a time in the feeding where you lose yourself and cannot always think clearly. I do not want regrets if we get carried away.
I am not going to have sex with Nathaniel or Jason. Keep this up and you won't even be on the list.
I would rather have you angry with me and not in my bed than accidentally pregnant by one of them.
I think I can keep from fucking them.
I sounded angry, but it wasn't anger that I felt. It was a seed of doubt. That hesitation made the anger worse. I always hid behind anger when I could.
And before this morning, you would have sworn even more strongly that you would not fuck a strange man you had just met.
The blush was so hot it almost hurt.
I didn't mean to.
That sounded weak even to me.
I couldn't...
You could not control yourself, ma petite, I know. But if you lose control again, would you not rather be safe?
I shook my head.
If I can't control myself better than this, we're not going to do this.
And if you do not feed from the lust in this room, how will you go into the Lupinar tonight? How will you see your were-leopard lover tonight when he accompanies you to the Lupinar without losing your precious control? How will you stand this close to our Richard and not offer yourself to him? Ma petite, you have had sex with a stranger.
He is her Nimirage,
Nathaniel said.
They are meant to be a mated pair.
Pretty to think so, Jean-Claude said. But I have been where ma petite is right now. I have felt the hunger for centuries, and I tell you that you will not be able to go among the shapeshifters tonight unless you are sated. I ask again, can you delay this meeting for a few nights?
I might be able to delay it for a night, I said. He shook his head.
No, ma petite, one night will not suffice. You are drawn to Richard, and now to the Nimirage. I think you will be unable to think around them, unless you have fed. Your were-leopard's life is at stake. Can you afford to be that distracted? Can you bear the thought of being that out of control, in a public setting, among potential enemies?
Damn you, I said. He nodded.
Yes, perhaps. But is anything I have said untrue?
No. I shook my head. I hate it, but no.
Then let us at least take precautions, ma petite. It is luck alone that had the Nimirage made safe. Our lives are complicated enough without that.
I knew what that meant. An accidental pregnancy. The thought of it made my blood run colder than anything else had. I hid my face in my hands.
I can't do this.
Then you must call Richard and tell him you cannot come tonight. You cannot go as you are, ma petite. The need will only worsen the longer you deny it.
I raised my face and stared at him.
How much worse?
He lowered his gaze.
Bad enough.
I crawled across the bed to him, made him look at me.
How bad?
He tried not to meet my gaze. His shields were back in place, and I couldn't tell what he was feeling.
You would be attracted to all the men. You would... I cannot guarantee what you would do, ma petite, or who you would do it with.
I just stared at him.
No. No, I would never...
He touched my mouth with his fingertip.
Ma petite, if you have not found my memories of my first days with this inside my body, then it is a blessing. I was a wanton thing before I became a vampire. But what I did when the desire first fell upon me... The desire did not hit me at once, because I craved blood first. Then when that quieted, the desire rose inside me.
He took my hands in his, pressed them against the cool flesh of his chest.
I did things, ma petite, things that even to a hardened libertine were humiliating. A look, a glance, and it was enough to bring them to me.
Didn't Belle Moore try to protect you?
I did not meet Belle until I had been dead nearly 5 years.
I stared at him.
I thought Belle was your... whatever. That she made you into a vamp.
Lisette was my creator. She was of Belle's line, but not a master vampire. Not by any stretch of the definition. In France, it is customary that every kiss of vampires... as at least one vampire belonging to each of the council bloodlines. Lisette was the only one of her kind in a nest descended mostly of far less pleasant vampires. Julien was her master of the city, and he was my first true master. He brought in people for me, but not people I would have chosen. He brought in...
Jean-Claude shook his head.
He amused himself at my expense because he knew I would take whatever he offered, because I would have no choice. I thought I had no room for embarrassment, but he taught me that there were things I did not want to do, and I did them anyway.
I think if he hadn't been shielding so strongly that I would have seen what he was remembering, but he didn't want me to see.
Let me spare you such a degradation, ma petite. You are not as I was. You have never given yourself freely. I fear what you would do or think of yourself if you did these things. I do not think your sense of yourself would survive intact.
You're scaring me, I said.
Good. You should be frightened. Asher met me before I had mastered the ardieu. He can tell you what I was like then.
I just looked at Asher.
I had seen the ardieu rise in others before Jean-Claude, and I have watched it since, but I have never seen anyone so crazed by it,
said Asher. So you helped him learn how to control the ardieu?
No. Lisette sent to Belle, telling her of Jean-Claude's beauty. I was sent to, how would you say, look him over for Belle. I advised Belle not to bring Jean-Claude and his master to court.
Why? I asked.
I was jealous of his beauty and his prowess. After 10 years, she was growing bored with me, or so I feared, and I did not wish the competition.
I learned to control the ardieu without the aid of another who had experienced it. For 5 years, I fed on flesh as I fed on blood. Only then did I master the ability to feed from a distance.
5 years,
I said.
Belle taught me true control of the ardieu, and I was not hers until I had been dead 5 years. But I will be there for you from the beginning. It will not be as it was for me.
Jean-Claude hugged me against him, and that scared me more.
I would never have married the Marks with you, if I had thought you could inherit my incubus. I would not knowingly have done this to you.
I pushed away from him and found him crying, and the fear sat like stale metal on my tongue. I was so scared my body went quiet, not racing, but almost as if every beat of my body, every breath, had simply stopped, and all there was to fill me was fear.
What have you done to me?
I thought at first that you were not vampire, and it would not be a true hunger. But watching you today, I know that it is as it was for me. You must feed.
You must not deny yourself. To do so is to court madness or worse.
No,
I said. If you had withstood the Nimiraj's advances, then I would say that your strength of will might conquer it. If you had withstood the desire to feed on Nathaniel, I would say you would master it. But you fed on him.
I did not have sex with Nathaniel.
No. And wasn't what you did instead more satisfying to some part of you than mere intercourse would have been?
I started to say no, and stopped. I could still feel Nathaniel's flesh in my mouth, the touch of his skin under my hands, the taste of his blood on my tongue. The memory brought the hunger over me in a hot rush. Not merely the lust, but Jean-Claude's craving for blood, and Richard's beast, or my beast, wanting to take that last bite and tear flesh for real. No pretending, no holding back. I had an awful idea. If I deny one hunger, all of them grow worse, don't they?
If I deny the lust, I need more blood. And the reverse is true.
I don't just have your bloodlust, Jean-Claude. I have Richard's beast. Or mine. I wanted to tear Nathaniel up. I wanted to feed on him for real, the way an animal does. Will that grow worse, too? His face started to slip back into careful, neutral lines. I grabbed his shoulders, shook him.
No! No more hiding! Will it grow worse?
I have no way of knowing for certain.
No more games! Will it grow worse?
I believe so.
His voice was very soft as he said it. I drew back from him, huddled against the headboard, stared at him, waiting for him to say, "Sorry, just kidding." But he just met my eyes. I stared at him because I didn't want to see anyone else's face. If I saw pity, it might make me cry. If I saw lust, it'd make me mad. I finally said, "What am I going to do?" There was no inflection in my voice, just a dragging tiredness.
"You will feed, and we will help you. We will keep you safe."
I finally glanced at the others. Every face was either carefully neutral or, in Nathaniel's case, staring down at the bed, as if he didn't trust me to see his eyes. Probably smart of him. "Fine, but I think we can do better than condoms."
"What do you mean, ma petite?"
"Nathaniel can put his shorts on, and I'll find my jammies."
"I still think..."
I held a hand up, and Jean-Claude fell silent. "They can put them on underneath their clothes just in case, but I know that if I tell Nathaniel not to, that he won't." I frowned at Jason.
"I'll be good," he said.
"I am not afraid that Nathaniel will disobey you, ma petite."
The tone in his voice turned me from Jason's face to his. "What do you mean?"
"I am worried that he will indeed do everything you tell him to do."
We stared at each other for a long space of my heartbeats. I understood what he meant now. It wasn't the boys he didn't trust, it was me. I would have liked to say I would never ask them, either of them, to do that to me, but there was something in Jean-Claude's eyes, some knowledge, some sorrow that kept me from saying it. "How much control am I going to lose?" I asked finally.
"I do not know."
"I'm getting really tired of hearing you say that."
"And I of saying it."
I finally asked what I had to ask. "What do we do now?"
"Our pomme de sang, fetch their clothing and yours. And we feed."
As much as I hated it, as much as I wanted to deny it, I knew he was right. I'd been trying not to be a sociopath because it made me a monster. I just hadn't known what I was saying. I needed to feed off humans. Lust instead of blood and flesh, but it was still feeding. Being a sociopath was beginning not to sound so bad. 18. Somewhere during the dressing process, I came to my senses. I stayed up against the headboard, Asher's robe belted securely over the red pajamas, my face averted, forehead pressed to the wood. Control was the heart of who I thought I was. I could do this, or rather, not do this. I had to try and let this pass me by, because to do anything else, I could not do this. The bed moved, and just the sensation of the men moving around on the bed was enough to tighten my body, speed my pulse. Dear God, help me. This couldn't be happening. I'd feared ending up as a vampire. I'd come close many times, but I'd never thought it would happen like this. I was still alive, still human, but the hunger rose inside me like some great beast trying to dig its way out of me, and all that kept it from surfacing was my fingers digging into the wood, my forehead pressed against the carvings. I wasn't sure which hunger I was fighting, but the ardeur colored all of it. Whether I was craving flesh or blood, the sex was there in all of it. I couldn't separate them, and that was scary all on its own. I felt someone crawling towards me, and I knew without looking that it was Jean-Claude. I could just feel him.
Ma petite, all is prepared. We need only you.
I spoke with my face still pressed into the wood, my fingers clinging to it. Well, then you'll just have to do without. I felt his hand hovering over my shoulder, and I said, don't touch me!
Ma petite, I would change this if I could, but I cannot. We must make the best of what is given us.
That made me look at him. His face was too close, eyes that intense midnight blue, hair a dark glory around his pale face. I flashed on another face just as pale, just as perfect, with a wealth of black hair, but with eyes a rich brown like dark amber. They grew in my vision until the world drowned in the dark honey of her eyes, as if it were poured over my eyes, over my skin, my body, until it filled me. And when I raised my eyes to Jean-Claude's worried face, his hand on my arm, I saw something close to terror in his eyes. He scrambled back from me, and when I turned and stared at Asher, he spilled off the bed to stand shaking. Jason and Nathaniel stayed on the bed because they didn't know any better.
What's wrong?
Jason asked. Nathaniel whispered,
her eyes.
I turned and caught sight of myself in the standing mirror in the corner. My eyes had filled with pale brown fire, not the darkness of my own eyes, but hers.
No,
I said softly. I felt her thousands of miles away. Her pleasure at my terror rolled through my body, raised my beast, and sent me falling onto the bed. My hands strained for something to hold on to, some help, but there was nothing to fight. It was power, and it was inside me. She explored me, raising my beast until it rolled just under the surface of my skin. She touched that part of Richard that was still inside me and raised his beast until the two energies entwined and my body started to convulse. I heard yelling,
"She's going to change!"
Hands holding me down to the bed. But Belle had learned what she wanted and let them slide back into my body. She separated out the powers inside me like you'd sort a deck of cards. She touched Jean-Claude's link to me and it puzzled her. I could feel it. Until that moment, she'd assumed I was a vampire and now she knew I wasn't. She let what puzzled her slide back deep inside me. Then she called the ardeur, the incubus, and the moment I thought it, I realized it was the wrong word.
Succubus,
she whispered in my head.
Succubus.
The hands that had been holding me down poured over my body, responding to the ardeur. It was like being covered in pure lust, rolled in it like flour on a piece of meat before you cook it. Hands slid along my skin, a mouth closed on my mouth, and I couldn't see who was right above me, kissing me. I could feel the weight of their body, another set of hands, but I could see nothing but a shining amber light. Belle kept the ardeur on the surface because it amused her. I couldn't see whose hands were where or who was doing what. All I could do was feel them, the brush of silk, the press of flesh, a curtain of hair, the scent of vanilla, but I could not see. Belle Moore was using my eyes for other things. She touched that part of me that allowed me to raise the dead. She caressed my necromancy, tried to bring it to the surface as she had the two, beasts and the Ardeur, but everything else she had explored was hers to call. It was all in some way part of her lineage, her blood. But the necromancy was all mine. My magic welled up through me, pushing her back, but I couldn't cast her out, not with just the raw power. It was as if she floated near the surface of some dark pool and I sat at the bottom trying to push her out. I couldn't cast her out, but I could see again, think again. I was nude from the waist up. Nathaniel's mouth closed on my nipple, drawing it in. I cried out, and Jason lowered his mouth to my other breast. There was a moment when I stared down at the two of them pressed to my body, the blonde head, the auburn, their mouths working at my breasts, the line of their bodies pressed along mine, the marks of my teeth still visible in Nathaniel's flesh, when the Ardeur, when Belle Moore, spilled over me again. Jason's hand slid down the front of the red silk bottoms, his fingers finding me as if he'd always known just where to touch me. I writhed under his touch, their touch. I grabbed Jason's wrist, tried to pull his hand away, but he fought me, and it was a tender place to fight over. I screamed, "Jean-Claude! Asher!
Ma petite?"
Jean-Claude made the name a question, as if he wasn't sure it was really me. I found the vampires standing beside the bed, not helping, not hindering, just watching. But I understood. The Ardeur called to them, too. They were afraid to touch us.
"Feed,"
I said.
"No, ma petite."
"I can't fight her and the hunger. Feed, and let me feed."
"You cannot break free of her, ma petite."
"Help me!"
He looked across the bed at Asher, and I watched something pass between them, something built of sorrow and old regrets.
"She is right, mon ami. She cannot fight Belle and the Ardeur."
"She doesn't understand what she's asking," Jean-Claude said.
"No, but she asks, and if we do not do it, we will always wonder. I would rather try and fail than regret having never tried at all."
They stared at each other for a second or two, then Asher crawled onto the bed, and Jean-Claude followed him. Asher stretched out beside Nathaniel, and Jean-Claude mirrored him with Jason. Belmore's joy flared through me, filled my eyes with honey-colored flames, and I lost my grip on Jason's wrist. His hand slid back over me, but when I turned to look, I could see Jean-Claude through the dark glass of her eyes, and Asher on the other side. I knew that once they touched either Pomme de Sang, they would be caught in the desire, and they would not break free. It was a trap. I opened my mouth to say don't, but three things happened all at once. They each struck into the neck of the man on their side, as if they'd known exactly what the other would do, and Jason forced me over that shining edge of orgasm. I screamed, body bucking against the bed, and only their weight kept me from sitting up, from clawing the air, because it wasn't just my own pleasure I was feeling. I felt Asher's fangs in Nathaniel's neck, felt Nathaniel's body build, and finally release in a rush of pleasure that made him bite down on my breast, made me score not his back, but Asher's with my nails. Jason drew his mouth back from me and screamed. The vampires rode their bodies, and I knew with Belle Moore's awareness that the only reason they didn't orgasm with us was the blood pressure wasn't there yet. But the pleasure was. The five of us were locked into wave after wave of pleasure. Like the heat the Ardeur was named for, it passed over and through us again and again. It was like floating, skinless, formless, just above the bed, and I could feel their heartbeats inside my body. Finally, I could feel Jean-Claude and Asher, feel their hearts give a massive beat, and feel the life flood through their bodies and spill in a long, hot line of pleasure that seemed to be pulled from the soles of their feet to the tops of their heads, as if every piece of their bodies, every atom, exploded in pleasure at once. Nathaniel, Jason, and I screamed for them because their mouths were still locked on the blood, still drinking, still feeding. Then it was over, and the five of us lay motionless, except for the frantic rise and fall of our chests, trying to breathe, trying to remember what it was like to be inside our own skins, with just one heart inside us instead of five. We melted back into our own skins, only the faint dew of sweat and the panicked thunder of our pulses beating against each other's bodies. Jean-Claude and Asher pulled back from Nathaniel and Jason just as they'd bitten them, together, in a synchronization as perfect now as it had been 2 centuries ago. Belle Moore filled my mind with images, images of the two of them making love to her before Asher was scored, when they were her perfectly matched pair. I had a confused image of them making love to her at the same time, the feel of them pushing inside her, as perfectly aware then as now of where each other's bodies were and of exactly what they would do. She missed them, and it was partially my love of Asher, my seeing him as beautiful, that made her regret. The sharing wasn't only one way. She was getting my feelings, too. But I was myself again. The desire had been well fed, sated, so now I could do what I did best. I called my magic, pulled it around me like a breath of cool wind against my sweat-soaked skin. Nathaniel and Jason pulled back from me, eyes still unfocused. Jean-Claude and Asher raised up above each of the smaller men, their eyes as out of focus as the lycanthrope's, but Jean-Claude said, "Ma petite, what?" I reached for him. "Take my hand."
"Ma petite,
now!" Belle's power cut through me like a whip in a practiced hand. She'd been using it to tickle my skin. Now she meant it to hurt. I writhed on the bed, only Jason's and Nathaniel's weight keeping me from flailing. My vision was being consumed by brown flames. A hand in mine, cool flesh, and the moment Jean-Claude touched me, I could see again. I was his human servant. He was my master. We were part of a triumvirate of power. If Richard had been here, we could have chased her back to the hells she crawled out of. I sent the call in my head, screaming psychically for Richard, but the answer came against my skin. Jason stared at me, confused. He said,
"Anita."
I felt Richard's power in Jason, the link of their pack. The power of the triumvirate leaped between Jean-Claude's hand, my hand, and Jason's body. It would work. It had to work, because I could feel Belle Moore rising inside me again, and I wasn't sure I had it in me to chase her back. I drew my necromancy like a great dark cloud, a storm ready to break, filling the room with the tingling brush of magic. Nathaniel drew back, whispered,
"Nimera."
The power pressed like lightning in a bottle, but the bottle was my body, and there was no release without one more thing, blood. The last time we'd done overt triumvirate magic, I'd asked the boys to give me blood, watched as Jean-Claude had sunk fangs into Richard for the first time, but not today. Today I needed the blood. I wanted the blood. I would not share. I used my free hand to lower Jason's face towards me, but I didn't kiss him. My mouth moved down the side of his cheek and I whispered, "I need blood, Jason. Say yes." He'd been holding himself off of me with his arms, but he whispered, "Yes," and collapsed his upper body across my breasts, his hand sliding along my stomach as if he meant to do other things. I could smell the blood just below the surface of his neck, could taste his pulse like candy on my tongue, and I bit him. I wasn't a vampire. There were no mind tricks to make it pleasant. We weren't having sex anymore. There was no distraction, only my teeth tearing his flesh, his blood pouring into my mouth, and the moment the blood poured over me, the necromancy flared, and I pushed it into that honeyed touch. She laughed at me, at us. Then the laughter stopped because she felt the push of my power. I was a necromancer, and she was just another kind of vampire. My magic didn't differentiate between her and any other corpse. I shoved her out, cast her back, locked her outside us. I'd been training in witchcraft this year, so I bound her from us, bound her from harming us in any way, bound her from contacting us through her power. My last thought to her was, if you want to find out what the fuck is going on, pick up a phone. Then she was gone. 19. I was naked again. It seemed to be a theme that night. The five of us lay in a heap, breathing hard, bodies tingling, with that rush that magic will leave behind sometimes, where you feel both tired and exhilarated at the same time, sort of like sex. Asher and Nathaniel lay on the bed just out of my reach. My mouth, chin, and neck were covered in Jason's blood. He lay with his head on my chest, his head turned so I could see the neck wound. I'd marked Nathaniel and Micah, but there was a piece of meat missing from Jason's neck. It wasn't a big piece, but it was a missing piece of flesh nonetheless. I swallowed hard, taking deep, even breaths. I would not throw up. I would not throw up. I would not throw up. I was going to throw up. I pushed everyone off the bed and ran for the bathroom. I threw up, and the flesh, about the size of a 50-cent piece, came up just like it had gone down. Whole. There was something about seeing it, about having my worst fears confirmed, that brought nausea in a burning wave. I threw up until I thought my head would explode and I was dry heaving. There was a knock on the door.
Ma petite, may I come in?
He hadn't asked if I was all right. Smart vampire. I didn't answer him, just stayed kneeling with my head against the cool bathtub edge, wondering if I was going to throw up again or my head would fall off first. My head hurt worse than my stomach. I heard the door open.
Ma petite?
I'm here, I said, my voice sounding thick as if I'd been crying. I kept my head down. I didn't want to see him or anyone. I saw the edge of the black robe, then more of it as he knelt down in front of me.
Is there anything I can get you?
A dozen answers flew through my mind, most of them sarcastic, but I settled for some aspirin and a toothbrush.
You could ask me to cut my heart out at this moment, and I might do it. Instead, you ask for aspirin and a toothbrush.
He leaned in and laid the gentlest of kisses on the top of my head.
I will get what you ask.
He stood, and again I heard a drawer opening and closing. I looked up and watched him move efficiently around the bathroom, setting out a bottle of aspirin and a toothbrush and a choice of toothpastes. It was absurdly domestic, and the black furred robe didn't fit the part. Jean-Claude looked like someone who should have servants, and he did. But mostly around me, he'd always done for himself and for me. When I wasn't around, he probably had 50 dancing girls waiting on him hand and foot. But with me, it was often just him. He brought me the aspirin and a glass of water. I took them, and there was a moment when I wasn't sure my stomach would keep them down, but it passed. Jean-Claude helped me stand, and I let him. It wasn't just that my legs were shaky, though they were. It was more like all of me was shaky, uncertain. I started to shiver and couldn't stop. Jean-Claude held me against his robe in the circle of his arms. My breast hurt where it rubbed against the cloth. I pulled back enough to look down at my body. There was a perfect imprint of Nathaniel's teeth encircling my breast around the areola. He'd only drawn blood in a few places, but the rest was a deep red-purple. It was going to be a hell of a bruise if my body didn't heal at first. Jean-Claude traced his finger across the upper part of the bite mark, and I winced. Why is it things like this never hurt while you're doing them?
The question is its own answer, ma petite.
Strangely, I understood what he meant. It's almost a mirror of what I did to his chest.
Nathaniel is being cautious, I think.
What do you mean?
He did nothing to you that you had not done to him first.
I thought they were both carried away with the ardeur and Belmore.
The first time you feel the call of her power, it is heady stuff. But the fact that Jason did something that he knew you would not allow, and Nathaniel did not, may mean that Nathaniel has more control of himself than Jason does.
I would have thought it was the other way around.
I know,
he said, and the way he said it made me look at him. What's that supposed to mean?
It means, ma petite, that you may know Nathaniel's heart's desire, but I do not think you truly know him.
He doesn't know himself, I said.
In part, that is true, but I think he will surprise you.
Are you hiding something from me?
About Nathaniel? No.
I sighed. You know on another day I'd make you tell me what that cryptic remark meant, but damn it, I want a little comfort from someone right now, and I guess you're it.
His eyebrows raised.
When you ask in so flattering a manner, how can I refuse?
No games, please, Jean-Claude. Please, just hold me. He drew me back into the circle of his arms, and I moved so that the bite mark wasn't hurting, or rather wasn't hurting more than it already did. It had turned into a throbbing pain, sharp when touched. It did hurt, but a part of me found that satisfying. It was a confirmation of what we'd done, a painful souvenir of something that had been amazing. If my morals hadn't gotten in the way, I could have just marveled at the whole thing.
Why am I pleased that Nathaniel marked me?
I asked it in a small voice, because I wasn't 100% sure Jean-Claude shouldn't have been jealous about it. He stroked my hair as his other arm held me close.
I can think of many reasons.
His voice vibrated through his chest against my ear, mingling with the sound of his heartbeat. One that makes sense to me would be enough, I said.
Ah, one that makes sense to you. Now that is a different question.
I squeezed my arms around his waist. No games, remember. Just tell me.
It could be that you are truly becoming his nimera.
His arm tightened around me.
I do feel something different in you, ma petite, some wildness that was not there before. It does not feel like Richard's beast feels, but it is a difference. It may simply be that as Nathaniel's nimera, you want closer contact with him.
It made sense. It was hard to argue with the logic of it, but I wanted to. What could be the other reasons?
Belmore treated you as a vampire of her line. If through the marks or your necromancy, you have some of the powers of a vampire, you may have others. It could be that leopards will be your animal to call. I admit that the first is the more likely reason, but the second is also possible.
I leaned back enough to see his face. Are you attracted to the wolves? I asked.
I find it pleasant to have the wolves around me. It is comforting to touch them like a pet or a lover.
I wasn't sure how I felt about him using pet and lover in the same sentence, but I let it go. So you want to have sex with the werewolves?
Do you want to have sex with Nathaniel?
No, not exactly.
But you want to touch him and be touched?
I had to think about that for a few seconds. I guess so.
In a true joining of animal and vampire, there is a desire in both to touch, for one to serve, and the other to take care of them.
Padma, the master of beasts, treated his animals like shit.
One of the many reasons that Padma will always be a secondary power on the council is his belief that all power must be taken, that all power must come through fear. True power comes when others offer it to you, and you merely accept it as a gift, not as the spoils of some personal war.
So the fact that you treat your wolves better than most is just, what, a political decision? He shrugged, still holding me against him.
I do not know how other vampires feel. I know only that Belmore felt attracted to her cats, and I feel the same for my wolves. Perhaps it is only her line that turns the bond between animal and vampire into something like lovers? Much of her power fed into sex, or at least attraction, and perhaps that is not how others feel?
He frowned.
I had not truly thought about that before. Perhaps it is another benefit of her lineage, or a shortfall of it, that most of my powers turn to something resembling sex.
Does Asher feel the same way about his animal to call?
He has no animal to call.
I widened my eyes. I thought all master vamps over a certain age had an animal to call.
Most of the time they do, but not always. Just as his bite can give true sexual release, and mine cannot. We have different powers.